Irritable Dad Syndrome was videotaped before a live studio audience. Welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome, home of the $1 million guarantee. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Darren.
Hey, welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome. I'm Mike.
I'm Darren.
And we're happy you're here.
We are very happy you're here. This is episode 33. And
yes.
I'm very, very surprised that every time we do another episode, I'm like, I can't believe we've done this many episodes.
We're like an 80-year-old man. In the home that wakes up every morning and is surprised to be above ground.
I'm here. Kill me.
It's like, okay, so we made it past the 7 episode.
Yeah.
That's the most podcasts die.
Yeah.
They don't make it past their 7th episode.
But that's what Don Smith was telling us.
Yeah, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually, I'm handling a lot of the Twitter stuff. I'm like obsessed with the Twitter, which by the way, we're up to 1,300 followers. I'm excited about
that. Wow.
Yeah. And I looked through our followers. I started going through and looking at what is called the inactives, you know. And there were so many inactive podcast people that started when we started that like we became, you know, affiliated or connected with them.
Okay.
More connected is more the thing on
Twitter. Right. Part of the greater podcasting community.
Yeah. And a lot of like a disturbing amount are gone. And that's just sad.
Because they're sissies.
Okay.
They can't take the heat.
That's right.
So they got out of the kitchen.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's why we record in the basement.
Right.
Because it's cooler down here than the kitchen.
That is true. Anyway, this is Irritable Dad Syndrome. We appreciate you joining us. You know, for weeks and weeks, I have promoted a special event.
Yeah.
I have promoted the fact that we were going to interview the ladies from Textual Tension.
Those filthy
the podcast,
women.
Yeah. The filthy women who have dirty mouths.
Yeah.
And they talk about smutty romance novels.
Yeah.
So a few weeks ago, we did their episode. That episode dropped on today, April 6th.
Yes.
So when you're hearing this, it'll be
April 13th.
The 13th, which is when the Textual Tension episode was supposed to drop a week later. But we got bumped.
Yeah.
We got bumped.
They decided it's not going to work out.
I got a message from Margie apologizing, so sorry, a problem with their schedule happened, asked if we could reschedule, and I'm a nice guy, and I said, sure, we'll reschedule.
Okay.
But I'm a little hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they have to get their hair did?
I think we made their show a priority, and I don't think that they're making our show a priority.
That I would expect that.
I feel betrayed.
Actually.
I'm trying to turn it this into
I would rather be on their show right now.
No, I'm trying to turn this into an Oprah Letterman feud thing.
Okay.
Trying to get to boil up and then
there'll
be all these rumblings inside the greater podcast community. Oh, the Textual Tension chicks don't like the guys from Irritable Dad Syndrome and vice versa.
And they're gonna say who?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Anyway, so for
here's the thing is Irritable Dad Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I like the title,
but
I fear that some people listen to it and think that this is a lot of dad jokes and like a parenting podcast.
Right.
And if you're getting parenting advice from us.
I feel sorry for you.
I mean, you could use this as a bad example, right?
Yeah. What not to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You totally could.
Yeah.
So, but anyway.
Okay.
I've been promoting it. The Textual Tension podcast crossover is not going to happen this episode. It will happen sometime in the next few weeks. I'm not sure when, but we will reschedule that.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that they aired the episode with us on it that dropped on April 6th.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're clearly getting annoyed with us. They are so annoyed with us.
Well, they could have gotten a more straightforward book.
Yeah.
They had a vampire on the front.
Well, you know, Margie and I have known each other forever, so I'm pretty sure they knew what they were getting into.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They didn't know there were two of us out there.
No.
Two morons.
No, I don't think they did. Anyway, so that'll happen sometime down the road, the crossover episode.
We interrupt this program for a special announcement. Congratulations to Gina Pennington, Irritable Dad Syndrome's Listener of the Week. This has been a special announcement. We now continue with our program already in progress.
How was your Easter?
You know what? It was pretty cool. We had an Easter egg hunt in the front and backyard. The kids, you know, they got a relatively equal amount. Dakota got one. We had to chase her around. There was cussing and yelling for
perfect,
her to drop.
Perfect for Easter.
Drop the blank, blank egg. I hope you choke was shouted a few times.
Wow.
Yeah, I mowed the lawn for the first time on Easter weekend. We were supposed to go to this couple that we're friends with. We met them in OU, Ohio University, and they live near Cincinnati. So we were going to go to their house, but then we remembered we have this dog that can't be left alone. So we invited them over here.
You can't leave her in her crate at
no,
the house?
No, okay. We discovered that one about a week or two ago. She gets she can't get out. But she gets herself into a position where it's choking her. She gets her head out of the bars and then can't move, and they close. It's a bad situation.
Right.
So we needed to invite them over here. I don't know if you're like us, but generally speaking, our house is a disaster area. And even when we have people over, you probably see it in its most raw form, because we're like, okay, he's coming over at Tuesday. Just clean up the blood and the feces and we'll be good. But
just push everything in one room and close the door.
It's a nightmare when you walk in.
It's not.
We block off areas. Like there's areas, there's like bedrooms and stuff. Like, don't let him in there. That's where we hide the bodies and things.
Right.
And so,
because you know, there's nothing I want to do more than go upstairs and go and look in your bedroom.
Well, one of the good side benefits of this podcast is we do have to keep the house in a relative level of okayness. So we had that going for us, but I had to mow the lawn for the first time this spring. And then I chuckled thinking about you talking about the person near you that had to mow their grass before anyone else.
Right.
And then it dawned on me that I was thinking about our podcast and laughing while I was mowing. And that was a weird moment of what's that called? Deja vu plus something. It made me very uncomfortable.
Right.
Because I listen to other podcasts.
It's not karma. No.
Is it karma? No, it's not karma. It was very odd.
Yeah.
It also reminded me of another small story, if you will indulge me for a moment.
Sure.
So Bess and I, the first house that we bought, it was a sell by owner thing. Okay. And it was in Troy, Ohio. And when we were looking at the house, they were going on and on. The mom was going on and on about the memories that they had in the house, and we had the Christmas tree over here, and they really didn't want to leave it, but they were moving to Tennessee and they had to go. And so we got the house and we just moved all of our stuff in and never bothered to put it away. And then we bought a lawnmower because we realized after about 2 weeks and the grass is growing, we didn't have a lawnmower. We weren't very smart back then. I wasn't very smart back then.
Oh, and you're so smart now.
So there was a moment where I was putting the lawnmower together in the living room and stuff was spread all over the place and the doorbell rings and it's the mom, the lady, you know, she just wanted to have one last look at the house before they actually left town.
You've got a lawnmower.
We had like underwear laying all over the place. There was literal garbage like in bags. I was going to take it out to the trash, but it was like there. And when I go back out with the lawnmower, I'm going to take it out. And came back in, and there's a lawnmower in pieces in the living room. It looked like something from the first 48, you know, like one of the final houses they go to. It was bad. I still think about that. I still think that we're the subject of a story for that family when they're like, you know, we went back to our house where our children grew up, and they had a lawnmower, bras, and garbage everywhere.
Please tell me, it wasn't a riding mower, was it?
No.
Okay, because I imagine you being such a dumbass
to put
that
together.
You would build the riding lawnmower.
I would
take it for a spin around the the living room, and then you can't get it out the door.
Yeah,
and then you have to disassemble it.
No, I just go through the wall.
I just don't know why you assembled it in the living room. Now, I'm not saying that I'm the smartest person in the world. I would have assembled it outside. I'm just saying.
I would Kool-Aid a man it right through the wall into the yard. And then see if the house is still under warranty. Can I get this wall replaced?
Put the lawnmower together in the living room. That's great. That's awesome. Well, we had my brother-in-law, Eddie, and his wife, Gina. She's a fan of the show.
They're the ones that painted their house and listened to this thing, right?
No, that was Erin Durbin.
Oh, okay.
It was Erin Durbin and her husband, Jason.
Okay.
Yeah. Gina Pennington is the woman who binge watched or binge listened to like five episodes in a row.
She wasn't painting her house when she was doing it?
No, Mike, she wasn't painting the house. Mm. She was driving to South Carolina to see her mother or something.
Same thing.
Or Jersey or some. She was driving. And she listened to five episodes in a row.
Good God. Well, that was the early days, too.
I know. Yeah. And I found out that she hasn't listened to any since. And we named her Listener of the Week, I think, for this week. Yeah. So
why did she binge listen to that many?
She likes the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not enough to ever listen to it.
Well, she's at home with the baby.
Okay.
My nephew, Ryan, who's adorable. Yeah. Or as the kids say today, totes.
Okay.
Adorbs. Oh. This kid.
Wow.
This kid is so cute, and he likes his Uncle Darren.
Yeah.
He's not crazy about his cousin Jacob yet.
Okay.
He would not go to my son Jacob.
Yeah.
At the end there, he warmed up to him.
Yeah.
But I forgot what it was like having a baby in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, adorable, but man, it's just like, it was the same thing with it was actually worse with my kids.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you fed them, you changed their diaper, you've put their favorite cozy pajamas on, they have something to drink, they got their favorite bink. You know, you would ask the kid, why are you crying? And the kid would go, I don't know. And it was one of those things where, you know, Ryan was crying and he would only stop crying when Gina was around. So, he wanted his mom.
So did it make you miss your kids being that age?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Really?
There's a few things.
Because I don't want to get all serious here. Right. But there's a dad part of me that's like seeing Charlie as he gets older. It's like a ticking clock. You know what I mean? It's like he's...
No, you're right. You're right.
He's six or seven right now. How old is he?
It's your kid. I don't know. No, there were little things like when Cameron was, I think when he was four or something, he'd say, Cameron, how do you spell truck? And he'd say, A-D-O-C, truck.
Yeah.
How do you spell dog? Dog. A-D-O-C, dog.
Yeah.
How do you spell bedroom?
Yeah.
Bedroom. A-D-O-C, bedroom. Yeah. And then he's like, you know, next question.
Yeah,
there's lots of cute stuff like that. But it's like, no, I don't miss the diaper changes.
Oh, yeah, not that. That's why it's so great being a grandparent. That's what I'm looking forward to is because you get all the cute stuff.
Exactly.
And then when a poo-poo happens, it's like somebody get in here and clean this up.
Right. And I got, you know, I was playing with Ryan upstairs.
Yeah.
And we played this exhilarating game. We were upstairs in the office where the kids play their PlayStation.
Yeah, they're Vigi games.
And we've got a box. It's a basket full of their games.
Okay.
Right? So Ryan would crawl over and he would take the games out of the box and put them on the floor.
Okay.
I would put the games back in the box.
Yeah.
Then Ryan would take the games out of the box and put them on the floor. Okay. Then I would put the games in the box.
Yeah.
And then Ryan would take the games out of the box and put them on the floor.
Okay.
And then I would take the games, Mike, and I would put them in the box. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Ryan would take the games out of the box and put them on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did this for like a half hour and I was like, I can do this. I'm going to break you, man. I'm going to see how long it takes you to get tired of doing this because I can put stuff back in a box day long.
At that age, they either crawl away or they start screaming and crying.
No, he just keeps looking at me like, oh yeah, there you go. I'll put it right back. And I take it out, put it on the floor. He goes, oh. Anyway, he pooped his pants. And,
what else would you
do? He did it. It was so much fun. He did it until he crapped himself.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I remember when Jacob and Cameron were both little.
Yeah.
And we would be out and about, like with friends or relatives or whatever. One of them would crap their pants. Hey, Darren. Yeah. Your baby's left a little present for you. And I got to do that. Like, hey, Eddie. Ryan's got a gift for you. And I just, here you go. And while they were over at the house, I actually had a Grandpa Bill moment. My grandfather was named Bill.
Okay.
And it was Sunday morning. We were going to go to church.
All right.
And I didn't know if we were going to the 10:30 or if we were going to go to the noon. But I was ready to go. I woke up and showered and was dressed at 8 o'clock.
Noon's for all the sinners that couldn't get out of bed.
And so that's my favorite. That's my favorite time
to
go. So I didn't know when we were going, and we were trying to plan the day around Ryan's morning nap.
Yeah.
Right. So they weren't sure if he was going to, like, if he seemed tired enough to take his morning nap and maybe he would sleep in the car and we would take him. And they weren't sure which one we were going to.
Yeah.
I sat down on the couch and I'm waiting for someone to say, this is where we're going. And I fell asleep. I totally conked out. And like 40 minutes later, I was like, I didn't know who I was, where I was, what was going on. And I'm like, are we late? Are we going? What? Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah.
And they're like,
you know, who are you people?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, it was one of those. Again, I was just like my grandfather Bill, had the keys. Just tell me where we're going and when I need to get you there. So.
This portion of Irritable Dad Syndrome is brought to you by Diff Liquid Concentrated Wallpaper Stripper. With its unique enzyme action, Diff dissolves old paste and cuts wallpaper removal time in half. Diff is fast and easy, just like my high school girlfriend, and no steamer is needed. Now, I know you're sitting there saying, Dave, that's bull, but I'm serious. No steamer is needed when removing wallpaper with Diff. Diff is the only one that really works. Look for Diff wherever quality wallpaper stripper is sold.
I want you to remind me to do something.
Okay.
Remind me to never take a staycation again. Because before Easter, Libby and I took a week off.
Yeah.
And I think Libby and I did more work around the house.
No, don't do that.
I know.
Why can't you just sit on your ass? Look at this place and then look at your place. If you had this place and you made it look like your place, you would think, I deserve to sit on my ass for a week.
Right.
If you had this place and it looked like this place, you'd feel like I need to spend a week to get this looking like your place.
Yeah.
Now, factor into that, that when I take a staycation, this place stays.
even keel.
It actually gets a little worse.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, well, live
we
a
had,
little.
We had Eddie and Gina were coming up with the baby. So we cleaned the place.
See, our problem is we only clean when somebody's coming over and then we can't enjoy the house because we got some jerk in the house that we got to entertain and talk to and pretend.
Don't talk about Gina like that.
Well, I'm just saying. So I would like to have, you know, you should clean the house and then just sit in it, bask in the cleanliness.
Well, I mean,
but if you're anything like me, because I have done that before, one time.
Bask in the cleanliness?
Bask in the cleanliness. It was one time.
Neither of us can say that.
It was back in 2011 for about a day.
Uh-huh.
Everything was clean and I sat there and then I ran out and bought a bunch of crap and messed up the house again.
You put a lawnmower in the living room. Underwear on the ceiling fan.
I think those bookshelves were involved. Everything.
Well,
it was just nuts.
That's a bookshelf. That's, you know.
Yeah, but I mean putting it together.
I know, but we, you know, we dusted and vacuumed.
Dust is natural. It's biodegradable.
It helps. It's part of the circle of life.
Part of the flora and fauna of your house. You take that away and you mess everything up. Then everything's messed up. Well, your gut health goes down. It's awful.
Something else, my gut health.
I've been reading about gut health.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I've got lots of gut health.
Yeah.
Something else we did was we had a new gazebo put in the backyard on our back patio.
Is there a dead body under it?
No.
Every show or movie I see where they get a gazebo, it's to hide a dead body.
Right. Well, this
maybe
is,
it's because of the shows I'm watching.
Right. Well, this doesn't have like the wooden floor where like, you know,
you can
musicians play or anything.
Okay.
No.
Oh.
It's on top of our concrete slab.
How big is it?
10 by 10.
Do you stand in it and recite Hamlet sometimes or Shakespeare? Do you?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping that you'd come to the next, you know, Shakespeare in the backyard.
I would like to do a puppet show in your gazebo.
Okay.
Just,
I would love to see you do a puppet
and like
show.
Weird puppets, like the puppets from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood with the rosy wooden cheeks.
Okay, you've given me an idea.
Freaky pup.
You and I are going to do a puppet show for Irritable Dad Syndrome because I've got a puppet at the house.
Yeah,
her name is Dolly, and she hates my wife. Dolly hates Libby.
Yeah,
and every time Dolly comes out, she's got smart-ass remarks to say about Libby.
Yeah,
and quite honestly, Libby's not crazy about Dolly either.
Well,
so anyway, so I can bring Dolly over and I've got some other puppets, but yeah, we'll do a puppet show.
Okay.
So anyway, I went and got a gazebo at Home Depot. Okay. Yeah. Libby.
How much is a gazebo? I don't want to pry. Give me a range. Don't tell me exactly. I don't know what
$22,000.
Oh my gosh. That's a cheap one.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what she spent.
Made out of paper mache.
It was becoming a slight sore spot because...
It's on your concrete? So it's right next to the house.
Yeah.
I thought a gazebo was supposed to be out there so people can gather around for the puppet show.
It can be. You can have your puppet show in the back. You've been to my backyard, right? It's not even. Yeah. Why would I put a gazebo in the middle of my yard?
You'd have to level it out.
Yeah, you have to level it out.
Or the leaning gazebo of Westchester with a puppet leaning.
It's next to the house.
You know what would be really disturbing?
What's that?
If you had a leaning gazebo, but the puppet was perfectly level, suspended in the middle of it.
The puppet's on your hand, Mike, so you can make it lean or
I know, but that's make it, you what really
do you not
freak
understand puppets?
Out. I don't know. I've just got a picture of a puppet.
My neighbors are freaked out enough as is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I went, got a gazebo at Home Depot.
It's like, this is like one of those stumbling blocks we run into. We just can't get past
so hard to tell this story.
You're going to cut all this out, aren't you? You can't cut all this out.
If you don't shut up, I'm not going to edit it.
Okay.
All right. It'll be your fault.
I'm not touching anything.
Your problem.
I'm not touching anything. Go ahead.
So I got a gazebo at Home Depot.
Okay. Yeah.
And
now nobody's gonna know why you're laughing.
It was turning into a little bit of a sore spot because Libby was looking at all kinds of them, and do you like this or do you like this one, or what should we get, this one or maybe we should get this color, whatever. And I said, get whatever one you like.
Are they pre-built? Did you have to build it?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I didn't build it. We hired someone to build it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we've got all the
Mr. Moneybags.
Well, we got all that $12 a month coming in from the podcast. And don't forget my comedy money that I've made. $330 over the past 3 years.
So now you have a gazebo.
Yes.
What do you do with the gazebo besides puppet shows?
Well, you sit in underneath it.
Okay.
We strung some lights around it.
Okay.
And we bring out the music, the boom box.
And put it there.
We play music and we have snacks.
Okay.
And we enjoy the shade and we've got a ceiling fan in it now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
See, up until the ceiling fan, I was going to say you just described a tree.
No.
But when you put the ceiling fan in it, now.
So it's you a like gazebo. Sitting inside of a tree?
Under a tree.
Okay. Okay.
Squirrels sit inside trees.
Yes, they do. And we are not squirrels, and I think you know that.
No. I wouldn't sit under our tree, though. You might get hit by a molly poop.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Libby was trying to order one, and she kept asking me what I wanted, and I told her, I said, gazebos are gazebos. Just get one. Anyway, so she finally got one. I borrowed a friend of mine's truck, and I drove down to not the close Home Depot. I had to drive like a half hour to one that had one in stock.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the deal was, they had the curbside pickup. So you're supposed to drive in there. You pull into the parking lot that says curbside pickup.
Yeah.
You click the button on your Home Depot thing
on
the computer.
I'm in space two.
And then
gazebo.
Yes, I'm in gazebo land.
Yeah.
And they bring it to you, right? Okay. Well, I get there and I hit the button that said curbside pickup for my order number, whatever the order is, and it's shut down. And I notice that curbside pickup stops at 6 o'clock. It's 6:08. I've missed it by 8 minutes.
Okay.
So I go into Home Depot to get my gazebo.
Yeah.
And I walk up to the, as soon as you walk, you've been inside of Home Depot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. As soon as you walk in, there's lots of orange.
Yeah.
There's all the returns, that area there.
Yeah.
So I walk up to this lady. I'm like, hi, I'm here to pick up a gazebo. And she says, I can't help you at this window. You'll need to walk around to that window. She points to the window that I'm supposed to go to.
It's a separate gazebo window.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I walk through the store.
Was she wearing an orange apron? You did go to a Home Depot employee.
Yes, I went to a Home Depot employee.
All right. I'm just checking.
So I walk around.
Yeah.
I get to the window where I'm supposed to go, and I'll be damned if the same lady doesn't walk over to me and says, may I help you? And it's comical because I'm like thinking, I was just over there.
Yeah.
And now I'm over here talking to the same person. So I said, yes, I'm here to pick up a gazebo. And I showed her the order number and everything. She says, okay, hold on 1 second. We'll have someone bring it out to you. And I said, okay. So I waited, I don't know, 10 minutes. And finally, a woman comes up and she's got this gazebo. Now, this thing weighs 340 pounds. Okay. And it's on a thing that they're rolling.
Yeah.
And she rolls it up to me. And then she says, are you going to need help getting this in your car? I'm like, yeah. I turned into John Oliver. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am. So she says, hold on, we'll get somebody.
Okay.
And now I'm not complaining. It took probably 25 minutes.
They got Wilfred the 70-year-old.
And I know that they've got a lot of people there, and there's a lot of people who need other things.
Yeah.
I'm not the only customer there. And it did take a while for them to find somebody, and that's okay. But they did bring out a guy who was in his, he had to have been in his 70s. Nice guy. But I thought, oh my God, he can't lift this.
Yeah, you're going to be responsible for his death.
I was, there's no way. And he looked at it and got two more people. And then I felt, okay.
There you go.
So between the four of us, we got it in the truck.
Yeah.
I drove it home, and it was all Jacob and I could do to get it out of the truck and into the garage. But we got it into the garage.
Okay.
Anyway, I hired a guy, or Libby hired a guy.
How do you find a guy to put together a gazebo?
Put out a thing, put out a mention in our neighborhood Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Libby's like, I'm looking for someone who can install a gazebo in our yard, and they recommended a handyman.
Okay.
And this guy, super nice. Oh my God, this guy, outside of you, probably going to be my best friend for life.
Okay.
All and he keeps calling Libby, Miss Libby. she's like, can I get you something to drink? Yes, Miss Libby. That'll be fine. Thank you, Miss Libby. She's like, you don't have to call me Miss Libby. He says, yes, Miss Libby. So, but the great thing about it was, I don't care to hire somebody to install this thing because I don't want to do it. I absolutely did not want to install this thing. And I also didn't want, you know, Libby and I, we get along really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
When we put things together, we don't get along really, really good. We get along okay. So we were both like, let's hire somebody to put this thing together.
Yeah.
And I also don't have the tools to drill this gazebo into the concrete, which he did, which is why we hired somebody. So anyway, you've got to come by the house.
I will.
We've got a gazebo in the backyard. We got lights. And we bring out the boom box, and it's really nice.
All right.
So that was our –
check that out. So now that you mentioned it's going to be drilled into the concrete, that takes away my dreams of putting it in the middle of the yard.
Yeah. Well,
all cockeyed with a puppet in it.
At our old house, we had 1, 2, 3 gazebos blow away from the wind.
Okay.
We've had them wind up in the neighbor's yard. We've had them completely demolished by the wind. We have lost a grill, 2 patio tables.
Good Lord.
Do you remember Hurricane Ike?
Yeah.
When Hurricane Ike blew through, we lost 2 ginormous chunks of our fence, of our wooden fence, big enough to where trucks could drive side by side into our yard.
Oh, wow.
So that's why we bought a 350-pound gazebo bolted into the concrete, because we're not doing this again. Because our house is the place where gazebos go to die.
This awkward pause is brought to you by apples. That's right, sweet, delicious apples. At Irritable Dad Syndrome, we know that there are dozens of apples to choose from. So ask your local produce department employee which apples are right for you. Apples. Enjoy one today. Mmm. Apple-y.
Do you have the Hulu?
No.
Did you ever watch Modern Family?
No.
Okay.
Is that the one with the guy from Married with Children?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No, I never.
Okay, so it won the Emmy Award 5 years in a row for Outstanding Comedy Series.
Okay.
Well-deserved. This show is hilarious.
Is it like Everybody Loves Raymond? Is it that type, or is it like Married with Children? Like, what's
it's not like Married with Children.
What's it like?
It's
Arrested Development?
No, it's not like Arrested Development, but it's closer to Arrested Development than it is Everybody Loves Raymond.
Okay.
Everybody Loves Raymond, which is still one of my all-time favorite shows of all time, was videotaped in front of a live studio audience.
Uh-huh.
So you heard the
laugh track.
They didn't have the canned laugh track. They had actual people. Laugh tracks. I can't stand laugh tracks.
Yeah.
Hate them. But Modern Family is shot kind of like documentary style. So
The Office.
Kind of like The Office, yes.
Okay.
They will look right at the camera and do interviews or whatever about what's going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's hysterical. Okay. And we started watching it with the kids. And we forgot that there's a few things that happen in Modern Family that might take a little bit of explaining to a 12-year-old. Like, there's one particular episode where they have 3 kids, Haley, Alex, those are the 2 girls, and then Luke, who's 11 or 12 years old.
Okay.
They go up into their parents' room to see what's going on, where they were. They opened up and they walk in on them having sex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then everyone's screaming. The kids slam the door. They're washing their eyes, trying to get out what they saw. They're screaming. Everybody's crying. Everybody's embarrassed. And Luke was like, what were mom and dad doing? And the girl say, I think they were playing a game. He goes, yeah. Well, I don't know what game they were playing, but I think dad was winning. If you haven't had an opportunity to watch Modern Family,
yeah.
It's on Hulu. All check right. It out. Go back because we're binge watching. We're almost through season two now.
Okay.
And we're absolutely loving it. So last week we were asked a couple of really good questions. We've got better fan questions.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something?
Absolutely.
My favorite part of the show, one of my favorite parts, mm-hmm. is the questions.
Okay.
Because I feel like we get to participate in our own show.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a part where the audience is driving the show and we just get to respond.
Right.
Which is where I don't know if you've noticed, but I feel most comfortable in not contributing, but just responding to other people who are contributing.
So we've got some really good questions this week.
All right.
From fans okay. of the show. So question number one, dear Irritable Dad Syndrome. This is from Dan in Ohio.
Okay.
And he asks, what is your favorite book to burn? I'm going to say Sweet Temptation by Cora Riley.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one. I think that one, yeah.
Mike and I were guests on the Textual Tension podcast, and we discussed the romance novel, Sweet Temptation by Cora Riley.
Romance is a stretch.
Oh, my God. And yeah. You know what? It's like you and I were hell-bent the whole time talking about the fangs on this girl.
Because it's so...
I know, but yeah. As soon as I looked at the picture today, I was like, she doesn't have fangs at all. But I swear to God, as God is my witness, the first time I looked at that picture, it looks like she had fangs.
Yeah.
And even Rachel at Textual Tension said, you know, it's lighting. It's the way her face looks. But it looked like she had fangs.
I think they photoshopped the fangs out.
You think so?
Want to make us look
like they're covering their ass?
They want us to make us look like idiots.
Yeah. Well, that's not hard to do. Dan, thank you for your question.
Yeah. Thanks for being a downer, Dan.
All right. Steve from Tennessee writes, Dear Irritable Dad Syndrome, what is worse, pouring milk before you put cereal in the bowl or underhanging the toilet paper?
The milk before the cereal.
I don't think so.
I can handle the toilet. You can't undo that. You can't undo putting milk in the bowl before the cereal. You can't do anything about it. The toilet paper, you can curse under your breath.
Uh-huh.
How many frickin' time, so I have to tell these frickin' people to put this toilet paper on the right way. They want you to get louder so they can hear you outside.
Right.
And you turn around yourself and you go about your poop business. But milk, what are you going to do? You're going to drink the milk? You can't pour it back in the jug. You can't put milk back into a jug.
Well, you can.
You can't.
I don't know what you can.
You can't.
Yeah, you can.
It is exactly like toothpaste in the tube.
It's absolutely not.
It's actually a better metaphor.
All right. I say the toilet paper is worse.
Because, why?
Well, I'll tell you, Mike. Calm down.
All right. I'm irritable.
When you do the milk first before the cereal, that's only affecting you. Okay? If I pour milk in the bowl and then the cereal, that doesn't hurt anybody. It might give people the crazy eye, but who is at your house when you're eating cereal? Your wife and kids.
See, here's the difference.
I'm talking.
All right.
When you underhang the toilet paper, then somebody else has to come in behind you and take it off and flip it and put it back or leave it there because they don't want to touch your toilet paper outside of
Well, who cares about them? You've gone. You've pooped and done your – you've gone.
Yeah, but the milk and the cereal only affects you.
Yeah, you are affected by it.
Right.
Hence – you shouldn't do it.
Right.
You're only hurting yourself.
I say toilet paper, and that's our final judgment.
Cereal, and you're a psychopath.
All right. Steve, thank you for your question. Yeah. Now, Chris in Tennessee. This is Chris Hughes, our band listener. He wants you to describe the perfect quesadilla. And yes, I said quesadilla because I'm a fan of Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay. You need to get an entire bag of Doritos.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And cut it into equal halves. Like spread it out on a table, split the bag of Doritos up into equal halves, and then connect.
Equal halves?
Two equal halves.
Okay.
Not three.
That's thirds.
It would be thirds.
Yes.
Take a bag, split it in twain, place your hand... Put all the Doritos down and place your hand betwixt them all and spread them.
Right.
Okay. Now, each separate pile, you take the little triangles because Doritos are triangles. I don't know if you've ever looked at a Dorito.
I've looked at a Dorito.
And it's like a puzzle. Make it as roundish as you can. Okay. It's going to be end up being more like an octagon, but make it roundish. Just listen to me.
Okay.
There's one. Then you do the same thing to the other one.
2 hours later.
Okay. Get yourself some butter. Put a fourth cup of butter. That's one of those, you know, the half sticks of the butter. You get the half sticks.
That's half,
one
a half stick.
Okay. Yeah. You, one of those, put it in a measuring cup. Put that in the microwave.
Uh-huh.
Microwave it for 30 seconds. At 20 seconds, push stop. Get it out. Move it around with the spoon. Put it back in for 5 seconds until it's completely liquid. Uh-huh. Now, take that and pour half of it on one, spreading it evenly of your Dorito octagons. Pour half of it on the other. All right? Then press those down. Put, what's that called? Parchment paper? Wax paper? Wax paper works better.
Uh-huh.
Put it over top of each one of those and press down as hard as you can, as evenly as you can. I find that sitting on it does the best, okay? Until you get a completely fused together Dorito octagon for each side. It doesn't have to be completely stick together. Just listen to me, okay? You do that. Then you get yourself 4 pieces of Tillamook cheese. When you go in, you get the extra cheddar. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's about six inches. Listen to me. 6 inches long by 2 inches wide by half an inch in depth.
Uh-huh.
Get 4 of those.
Do you have to have a measuring tape to do this?
No, but you have to have a cheese grater. And you grate 2 Tillamooks per Jesus. Dorito thing. Uh-huh. Okay? Take the wax paper off, you psychopath. These have to hit the Doritos perfectly. Okay? Then be very careful. Get one of those... pizza, you know, the pizza spatulas that they use in the fancy places, under one of the Dorito octagons, keeping it together. All the cheese is on the other one. Slap it down in between some, what's that called? Aluminum foil in the oven, 350 degrees for 8 minutes. Flip it, 3 more minutes. Get it out. It's a perfect quesadilla.
You're insane.
Oh, shit.
You are out of your mind.
Oh, this is not what this is for.
You didn't even put a tortilla in there.
That's what did you miss the Doritos?
You can't even pick this up. You pick it up, it's just going to crumble.
If you did this right, it's like a cupcake cake. It's already split up into little Dorito quesadillas.
Okay.
With our, butter and cheese.
Okay.
What more do you want? Then, it's like a grilled cheese with
what
Doritos.
What more do I want? Yeah. A quesadilla is what I want.
Oh, you said quesadilla.
Well,
quesadilla
I want that
is a
too.
Whole different recipe.
Okay. What I do is I take a tortilla.
Okay.
And we fry up ground chicken.
Okay.
Okay. Fried up and then put taco seasoning in it. Okay.
Oh.
Then you put the chicken.
Is it still a quesadilla if you put
Yeah, it's
taco?
A chicken quesadilla.
Okay.
Yeah, dumbass. You put the tortilla on your quesadilla maker. A week or so ago, I mentioned that I bought a new quesadilla maker. We eat quesadillas so often we've ran through 2 of them. And then I find out that your wife just threw one away.
We got a good 6-7 of them in the garage.
Yeah, she could have just given us theirs. So thanks, Beth.
People keep buying us quesadilla makers. And it's like, hey, look, you got a quesadilla maker. Thanks.
Right. So you take the tortilla, you put it on the quesadilla maker.
Uh-huh.
Then you put the ground chicken with the taco seasoning.
In the maker.
On top of
on
the
top
tortilla.
On top of the tortilla.
Yes. All right. Okay. Are you following me?
I am
Do
now.
I need to have a visual?
I didn't know that you would add the chicken. I thought the chicken was a later addition to the quesadilla.
No.
I didn't know that
tortilla,
it all went in there at the
tortilla,
same time.
Tortilla. Mm-hmm. Then the chicken.
Okay.
Then you put black olive and green chili on there and spread it.
Okay.
And then a mountain of cheese. Just a mountain of shredded cheese. I don't shred my own cheese with a grater. They sell it shredded, and it's delicious.
Can you get Tillamook cheese? Can you do Tillamook like that?
Sure.
Okay.
And you put the other tortilla on top, and you press it down,
yeah.
And then you take it out when it's done. You cut it into 6 pieces.
How long does it take to make that?
A minute.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's delicious. While you're spending like an hour and a half breaking your Doritos.
Yeah.
Now, I love Doritos.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to try and form my own Dorito quesadilla shell.
He said, what's the best quesadilla? That's the best quesadilla.
No, it's not.
It literally is.
It sounds delicious, but it sounds like a better, like a dip.
When we have our Crowbar wedding, we're serving Dorito quesadillas.
Okay. I don't think we're going to be invited to the Crowbar wedding.
No.
because you and I are fighting again.
Okay.
All right. Chris, thanks for your question.
Thanks.
Dara in Texas writes, Dear Irritable Dad Syndrome, which pop 80s band was best and why? Oh, God. Here we go. Go ahead. Go ahead. Mention your favorite band. They're all over the wall.
That's rock. They're rock. She huh? said pop.
Pop.
Yeah.
Pop.
In excess. In excess.
You don't call them rock? You think they were pop?
Okay. They were. You know, pop is just popular. It's just short for pop. Okay. U2. Damn it. I was trying to not say U2. U2.
Wasn't their first song in 79?
Yeah, but their first album, their first official album was 1980, 1981.
Okay.
I have to look.
It's really right. If I had to, absolutely had to say a pop band from the 80s.
Yeah, it'd have to be U2. You're going to say Billy Idol.
Billy Idol's rock.
Yeah.
He's not pop.
Well, see, they're rock. See, they're not pop. They're,
I know. So I'm going to say Duran Duran.
Okay.
I think Duran.
So you don't consider NXS? I guess NXS is rock.
I consider NXS a rockin' band.
What's the Police is rock?
Yes. They're definitely not a pop band.
And what was the question? The best 80s pop
the
band?
The best 80s pop band. And why? I mean, it's got to be Duran Duran.
Is Michael Jackson considered a band?
No.
He's just an artist.
No, he's an artist. Yeah.
You know, I can't believe. What about the Bangles?
The Bangles.
Okay. I like the Bangles.
I like the Bangles too.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, they were awesome. Yeah,
okay. I'm going to say the Bangles.
The Bangles.
Yeah. Manic Monday.
I'm going to see if we can get them on the show. Prince wrote that, by the way.
Did he really?
He did. He wrote that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, all right, Dara, thank you for the question. Bill in Ohio, he wants to know how much cheese is too much and when should I call a doctor?
None is too much.
Yeah.
And you should call a doctor when you haven't pooped in 4 days.
Exactly. Now, you're talking like this podcast cheese or cheese like on a quesadilla? Yeah.
Well, one entire episode all at once of this podcast is too much cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You should probably split this thing up. And here's the thing. If you're listening to the podcast and you suddenly hear, and this goes for all episodes, you suddenly hear Dave Lay break in with the 70s music in the background,
right.
You should take a break.
That's right.
Like, listen to what he says and take a break before the two buffoons come back on.
Right.
Take a walk. Tell your significant other that you love them and you're concerned about your health because you're listening to these two idiots.
Right.
Hug your children. Call your mom.
Yeah.
Sign up for the service. Anything.
Right.
And then come back and listen to the rest of the show.
And now, a special announcement for anyone who is celebrating a birthday today. Happy birthday from all of us at Irritable Dad Syndrome.
Can I take a second and just say how much I love the work that Dave does for this podcast?
He's amazing.
He does a great job.
It makes me want to do a good job.
I know.
I feel bad.
I know.
Right before this show started, we were just like, I got nothing. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm farting. We had to delay the start of it because I had some gastrointestinal issues that had to happen.
Yes.
Podcasts, normal shows don't do things like that.
Right.
But then Dave Lay comes in and gives this thing some legitimacy.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave's awesome.
Yeah, so he could work for a good podcast if he wanted.
don't give him any ideas. Finally, our last question is from Maria from Ohio, and she wants to know, why do men only talk about women, sports, and cars? Now, I actually replied to her.
Women's sports. When did I ever talk about women's sports?
No, women, comma, sports, comma, and cars.
I don't care about sports or women.
Right. I replied to her earlier today, and I'm like, have you listened to our podcast? Yeah. we talk about John Wick, cheese.
Uh-huh. We do talk about cheese a lot.
And Kroger.
And Star Wars. We had a run there of like every episode had Star Wars in it for about 10 straight episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
The most we've mentioned women is when we say those filthy women, this podcast that we were on.
Well, and that's what I told Maria today. I said, you know, outside of, you know, whatever my wife is complaining about, something that I did.
Yeah.
And you coaching some flag football team,
which has nothing to do with women.
No, or everything sports.
Or sports.
We spent like 10 minutes 2 weeks ago about how you knew nothing about sports.
Yeah.
And I knew nothing about sports.
Yeah.
And now she's asking, why is that the only thing men ever talk about?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think
just
so.
Just goes to show you, she's not listening to what men are saying.
No, she's not listening to what men are saying.
Yeah.
She's got preconceived notions.
And cars.
Yeah.
If you're around a dude that's talking about his car all the time. Stop dating high school kids. Good God.
Yeah. Actually,
how big's your spoiler now?
Yeah. An interesting fact about Dave Lay. If you're in the car and you're driving with Dave Lay and a car passes you, what kind of car was that, Dave? Well, Darren, that was a 2004 Honda Civic. Okay. And if one's coming at you at night, that's a Nissan Sentra. You can tell by the headlights. And if you're in the parking lot and you look all the way, what's that white van over there? Well, that's a Ford, Darren. And he's right.
Yeah.
He can look at any car and tell you what kind of car it was, what year it was made, and some of them that may be a Mitsubishi, but it has a Plymouth engine in it or something. I'm like, how? And they stopped doing that in the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And he knows all that stuff. Mind blown. So we've got a segment on our show that I've become a pretty good fan of. It's called Concert Stories.
Oh, yeah.
And
Okay. All right.
Okay.
And when Mike saw the rundown, his eyes immediately rolled to the back of his head, almost gave him a migraine.
Here we go.
All right. So you ready? A long time ago, I went to see a concert by a guy named, you ready? Michael Bolton.
There was nothing wrong with that name until that no talent ass clown started winning Grammys.
It was a good show.
Yeah.
It was
a good show. Okay. Yeah. Well, give me the era of Bolton here. What are we talking about?
Knoxville. This was the
mullet Bolton Love and Tenderness.
Yeah. Time, Love. This is the Time, Love and Tenderness tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We went to see. Now I respect that.
Yeah.
Because I had that tape. I had that, just the single.
I knew it.
Just the single. I didn't have the full mic. I couldn't go full Bolton. I went one single.
You know, he wrote a bunch of songs for other artists before he recorded his own stuff.
Okay.
So, Michael Bolton, I'm a fan. I'm not ashamed of it. Okay. I like Michael Bolton. I have 3 or 4 CDs by Michael Bolton, and I've actually seen him twice.
Okay.
The first time I saw him, Celine Dion opened up for him. And this is when her only hit was Where Does My Heart Beat Now? You know, Celine Dion. Okay.
Yeah.
The second time I saw Michael Bolton, he had a stand-up comic open up for him.
I thought you were going to say he was doing stand-up comedy.
No, he wasn't doing stand-up comedy. But he had a comic open for him, which is, I knew lots of comedians opened up for musical acts. Michael Flannery has opened up for Warren Zevon.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I tell you something real briefly?
Sure.
In the 80s, I used to get Michael Bolton and Bill Maher mixed up a lot. When I would see Bill Maher, I thought it was Michael Bolton, and I would see Michael Bolton, I thought it was Bill Maher.
They don't look anything alike.
I think they look, there was a point there, I think they look alike. Okay.
I'll have to do a side by side.
Bill Maher in the 80s, like the 80s, you know, when he was, before he did the political thing.
Right. Okay. So anyway, there's a stand-up comedian, and he's opening up for Michael Bolton, and he's pretty funny. Okay. I don't remember any of the jokes, but he was really good, and the crowd was really into him.
Was it Gallagher?
It wasn't Gallagher.
Okay.
But, funny story, I've seen Gallagher before.
Have you?
Yeah.
I could see you seeing Gallagher.
I went
to
a Gallagher show.
Were you in the front row?
I was not in the front row. I was in the back. I didn't get any watermelon on me. Okay. Nothing.
He did do that, though, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. That was his thing. He always did that.
Would it riot? Would people riot if he didn't do the Sledge-O-Matic?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
But when Gallagher got started, he used to open up for Kenny Rogers. So that's get the quacker ready. That's the weirdest lineup. Kenny Rogers and Gallagher. So the comedian is really funny and he opens up for Michael Bolton.
Okay.
And then Michael Bolton comes on and sings 2 or 3 songs. Well, I'm sitting next to this woman. No idea who she is. We haven't talked to each other the whole time.
Okay.
You know, and he does like his third song and she looks at me and she says, "Isn't he great?" And I said, "Yeah. But he's not as funny as the last guy." And I wish I had a picture of the look she gave me.
I saw Slayer
on
their final tour.
Right.
And opening for them was the guy from Pantera. I can't remember.
Okay.
Phil Anselmo.
The only song by Pantera I know is This Love.
Yeah.
And I love that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw Pantera open for Black Sabbath when Black Sabbath did the reunion tour. I saw them then. And
okay.
I was just like, I've just never liked Phil Anselmo.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. So having him be his own band, me and my buddy, we ate while that was going on. And then we came in and Ministry was there. I was curious to see Ministry. Mm-hmm. I saw one song of Ministry. I said, okay, there's that song. I heard another one, I couldn't tell.
I've got one album of theirs, The Land of Rape and Honey. Yeah,
I couldn't tell if a new song had started or if he was just taking a break. Like, it was just like, after them was Primus.
Okay.
And I became a Primus fan.
I've seen Primus before.
I never liked Primus before, but being stuck in a...
So Mike just accidentally hit his microphone, and there's cables, there's springs. I'll just do mine.
It sounded like the angel of death. Just, I thought I died.
It sounded like Pete Townsend. You know.
So anyway, being let me reset. I never liked Primus when they were popular. But being stuck in a room with, like, you know, forced to watch him for 45 minutes, I got into it. Uh-huh. I dug it. That's why I got that album that I was listening to anyway.
Right.
Then Slayer came on. So this is Slayer's final tour. I've seen Metallica. I wanted to see Megadeth. I had tickets to see Megadeth in 2020.
Right.
I've never seen Anthrax. I don't really care to see Anthrax. But, you know, Metallica, for 80s metalheads, of Metallica, Megadeth, mm-hmm. Slayer, and Anthrax were the four thrash metal bands.
Yeah.
You liked one of them. Most people liked all of them. But,
right.
You know, and I was like, okay, I want to be able to say that I saw Slayer, even though I'm not a big Slayer fan. It was loud. I don't know if I need to say that. But when we went, me and Coburn, we were on the inner rim. So we were on the other side of, there's general admission. There's no way in hell we're going general admission at a Slayer concert because we want to live.
Right.
That's what I thought. Months before, when I was buying the tickets,
mm-hmm.
Do you want general admission? No,
I
prefer to live.
I want a seat.
Okay,
in the back.
Yeah. So no, we were like just a few feet away from where they were, but there was a barrier there.
Mm-hmm.
It starts going. Of course, there's a mosh pit, but there's been a mosh pit for like three bands. There was a mosh pit for Primus. I mean, these people. This was a crowd.
Right.
Okay. Slayer came on, and it went nuts in there. And I remember seeing somebody's head. Where a head shouldn't be, like near feet, like somebody had gone down.
Gotcha.
All right. I was vaguely concerned. Part of me thought it was a stunt, that it was like a roadie for the band or something. They're going to make a thing. But then I noticed people started looking down.
Right.
And then we saw medics come in and they picked a dude up.
Uh-huh.
And it was a guy laying there. And it was a head.
Please tell me it's still attached to the body.
Okay. So this entire time, the Slayer show is going, and it is loud. I have concert earplugs,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just don't need to use them.
Right.
But at Slayer, like, I took them out just to test, and I thought my brain had exploded, so yeah. I put them back in. They took this person out. As they were getting ready to pick them up, Tom Araya, which is the bass player and vocalist for Slayer, came out. And stopped everything, and he just stood at the end of the stage and looked out. And I thought he was going to ask if that person was okay,
uh-huh.
or anything like that. And he just started move his hands in an upward motion, and people started yelling, Slayer! Slayer! And then the show started right back up again. The lights went out.
Yeah.
That was just a thing to get the crowd going. And I thought, wow.
Yeah.
You could go down, getting your head kicked at a Slayer show, and
doesn't faze anybody.
It won't matter.
Yeah.
And as they carted that guy out, the crowd came in. Everybody kept moshing. There were still bodies flying all over the place. It was nuts.
I have been in two mosh pits. And
they pissed me off.
One of them we thought we were young and stupid, thought we would try. The second one I didn't realize was going to turn into a mosh pit. So years ago, Lollapalooza came through and we went to see it. And it was Metallica, Soundgarden, Rage Against Machine. were the big bands on the bill that night. Mm-hmm. So we were all the way back for Rage Against the Machine. Okay. And they were insane. Oh my God, they were amazing.
Yeah.
And the crowd was just going nuts. I figure
that would be the most crazy mosh
pit. And so, yeah, we thought, okay, we're not going to be in the mosh pit for Rage Against the Machine because they're full of rage.
Yeah.
Duh.
Against machines.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So after they were done, and everybody was heading out for beer, or snacks, or bathroom breaks, or whatever. We thought this is our time to make it up to the front
because nobody's going to mosh at a Soundgarden.
No, yeah. No one's going to mosh at Soundgarden.
Right.
Wrong.
Yeah,
they're up there doing Spoon Man. How can you mosh for Spoon Man?
Yeah,
they're moshing during Fell on Black Days. And anyway, so there's this girl. She's right next to me. 5 foot tall, she's got to weigh 90 pounds.
Okay.
Scared to death. And her boyfriend's not paying any attention to her. He's just, Soundgarden, going to town, going crazy. And I'm showing her how to defend yourself in a mosh pit. And I'm telling her to stand with your hands together, locked, okay? And your elbows out. And when someone comes to your right, you elbow them. Someone comes to your left, you elbow them. Yeah. And when you got your arms out like this, when someone pushes you from behind, you brace yourself with your fist in someone's back. Uh-huh. When you get knocked back, then your head goes into somebody's. If it's their head, okay. we weren't in there for a mosh pit. We thought we were just going to be able to chill for Soundgarden. We were mistaken.
Yeah.
Anyway, my buddy Jim got kicked in the nose. He got kicked in the nose from a crowd surfer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then some chick starts crowd surfing, and then she got mad because everyone was grabbing her.
Of course they are. I'm like,
what do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, people are trying to pass you over.
Yeah.
Their hands have to touch parts of your body.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes they're going to touch your butt.
Yeah. And there's probably going to be some people in the crowd that are drunk or don't care.
Right.
And are going to.
They're going to touch whatever they can.
Yeah.
Like,
that you should do that. I'm not condoning that.
No, you absolutely should not do that.
Just don't put yourself in that position.
Yeah, if you're a woman and you're in a crowd full of drunk guys, don't say, hey, everybody pass me over with your hands.
Well, if you're a guy, because that's one of the reasons I never crowd surfed is because I thought they're drunk.
Right.
And they're moshing.
Yes.
Somebody's going to think it's funny to squeeze Mr. Winky.
Yes.
it's going to make for a bad show.
I know. So. I know. But everything.
Some budding proctologists out there in the crowd.
We finally thought the crowd had died down enough. And then you hear Jim go, son of a. And I look, and his nose is bleeding. Bleeding. When it started, we thought, okay, as long as we're not moshing and, we're not crowd surfing, we'll be fine. No, we didn't realize that people were going to be crowd surfing over us.
And
he got kicked in the nose with a boot.
So the only reason I can see the mosh is you got a lot of aggression, you got all that stuff that you want to get out at a show with like tons of aggressive music.
Yeah.
I've never seen the draw.
I know.
Of that.
I hadn't either.
Like, I want to go see the band.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I went to see Offspring here in Cincinnati at the casino.
Okay.
Oh my God. They were amazing. Mm-hmm. They were great. I was all the way at the front. I was closer to the lead singer of Offspring than I am to you right now. Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm right up against the gate.
Yeah.
So the bad thing about being that close to mosh pit is you're getting pushed into the gate.
Yeah.
And this guy behind me, skinny little dude, he kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed, and he pushed somebody back, and then he got in a fight and he left.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're just there to see a show.
Yeah.
But I had my elbows out and I'm elbowing people right and left. And the crazy thing is,
I'm going to remember that next time I'm in a U2 mosh pit.
Yeah. Or next time we go see Kenny Rogers. Well, he's dead. You can't mosh pit at Kenny Rogers. But there was there's a circle and people were jumping and running and slamming into each other. And there's this little kid there. And this dude is like tucking his, that's my boy. That's my kid.
Yeah.
He's 15. And this dad was like thrilled that he brought his kid.
That's crazy.
Into a mosh pit.
That's
crazy. Like, I don't think your wife knows that you're here.
Well, like when I told the White Zombie story last week, the family that was in front of us that started moshing, it was a family. It was a guy and his wife. I'm assuming it was his wife and two small kids. I mean, they were like maybe Charlie's age, maybe a little bit older at a White Zombie show moshing.
Yeah.
But when you mentioned the circle, I don't, most of the shows that I go to in general, people aren't moshing. I was surprised when you told me people were moshing when you saw Tool, because when I saw them, there was absolutely no,
I was but so happy. Kind
of, they're like a different band now. They're
I
like,
was, it's like we were thing. Up. Yeah. We were up in the seats looking down, and I'm so happy I wasn't down there
at the Slayer show. Yeah. You got Slayer Ministry and all that, like a whole, and the Anselmo, like you, when you see Pantera, you mosh. When I'm here alone and Pantera comes on, I mosh.
You can mosh all you want in your privacy of your own home.
But you're going to see like the masters of moshing. And that happened. The circle happened. Like, it was a big open circle in general admission.
Yeah.
And I remember I almost said to Coburn, I didn't say it because it was so damn loud, but I was thinking, oh, we should have gone general admission. It was a perfect place. And then I saw the bodies just like, it was like, you know, like Mortal Kombat in there. I was like, oh my God.
I know.
But that would really piss me off if I waited in line. I got there early. I wanted to get there. I wanted to get close to the band.
And then you had to deal with a bunch of dumbasses. Yeah.
It's Slayer's last, like one of their last shows, their last tour. And you're going to have to worry about getting a concussion because some jackass back there who bought a Slayer shirt at a Hot Topic suddenly thinks he's a fan. And he's going to get beat up.
If you're a fan who loves to go and mosh and you're listening right now, if we're offending you, I'm sorry. I don't like spending a lot of money for a concert ticket and getting there early and getting a good spot where I can see the show and then having to deal with that. I like listening to the music.
Yeah.
And if that makes me sound like an old man, I don't care.
Well, here's the thing. If both of us had a lot of energy and a lot of aggression.
Which we don't.
But let's go back 20 years or so.
Okay.
And pretend we do. Mm-hmm. If I'm coming at you, you brace yourself.
Yeah.
You can take a hit like that, and it can be fun. Guys do that all the time. You used to do all the time, like punch in the arm or whatever.
Yeah.
And you don't really feel it. You kind of do, but you don't. But if you don't see it coming, you can really, really get hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the other piece of it, is that you could, you know, every time you're hitting something, you're putting that much force into something else. Mm-hmm. If they're expecting it, no harm, no foul. But you can't prove that, you know, everybody around you is expecting this to happen. You're hurting somebody.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah, it's crazy.
By the way,
you
mentioned that you saw Offspring. I just looked. I saw Steel Panther.
Steel Panther.
Both wearing shirts of groups that we saw in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of moshing at this, but then I think they realized how pathetic and ironic it is to mosh at a Steel Panther show.
Yeah, because they're like a fake band.
They're a fake band that's kind of making fun of that whole thing.
Right.
So I think they just got a couple of glances from the band. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, speaking of, not really fake band, but
they're good, but it's like holding a lighter up at a Weird Al Yankovic show. You don't do that.
Well, speaking of Weird Al, you said that you wear, I mean, I wear earplugs to shows too.
I just recently started.
I always do. When we went to see the Prophets of Rage, thank God I had the earplugs.
See, I didn't then.
Because I took them out for a second. I'm like, I would still be deaf if I didn't. I remember years ago I saw AC/DC and they did For Those About to Rock, and they brought out the cans.
Yeah,
when they went off, my ears were ringing for 3 days after that. But the loudest concert I've ever seen was Weird Al Yankovic.
Really?
I've seen Metallica. I've seen AC/DC, Van Halen, Poison, Rage Against the Machine, Soundgarden. Weird Al was louder than anybody.
Well, the loudest concert I ever saw was a U2 concert in Cleveland. Yeah. I couldn't hear for days. Yeah. Best didn't think it was that loud, but that was the reason I bought earplugs.
Yeah,
because you can't tell.
Yeah,
because I've seen them, you know, I don't know how many times. That's the only show where I wish I'd had earplugs.
Yeah,
I've been to other shows where I wish they'd turn everything up.
I know,
but that Slayer show, if I hadn't had earplugs, I was out in the where you get beer and just took one out just to see, and my ear hurt.
Yeah.
Just stick that thing back in.
I know. I don't want tinnitus. I don't want to lose my hearing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Chris Hughes is on the Twitch, and he said that his mom took him to see Willie Nelson when he was in kindergarten. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
I saw Willie Nelson one time. Willie Nelson puts on a pretty good show. Or at least he did the night I saw him. The front row were all these John Deere tractor hats and Future Farmer of America jackets, and Willie's just high-fiving everybody.
I got to tell
this. Everybody loved Willie. It was awesome.
I got to tell this story because I don't know that when this ever will come up naturally again. Okay. We told the story last week about, you know, me and Bess and taking the kids to Hocking Hills in Athens. On the way out there, I got a hankering to hear some Willie Nelson and put on the Road Again.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Bess started singing along. We were singing On the Road Again.
Right.
And then naturally, I think I got to hear Kenny Rogers, The Gambler.
Uh-huh.
And then me and Bess are really belting out The Gambler.
Uh-huh.
So The Gambler gets over, and I'm looking for Waylon Jennings, and there's a small voice in the back. It's Andrew. What's happening? And we did what you just did. We just buzzed out laughing besides the fact that we never play country, and then all of a sudden we're playing some pretty...
That's badass country music
right there. Then singing along to it.
Exactly.
I didn't get the Hank Williams Jr., but man, if that would have happened, we would have had to take a hard right down to West Virginia and just ignore Athens and Hocking Hills.
Well, I've got one more concert story.
All right.
When I lived in Tennessee, I was friends with Steve Mann. He used to be a DJ at WQUT, and now he's on WTFM, I think, in Johnson City. Okay. He's at a different station. And so I got to know him over the years, and he used to bring me in to the station on Fridays, and I would do impressions and answer the phones. And I was like a sidekick on WQUT for a brief period. Well, anyway, he got me backstage passes to see Kiss. And the opening act was Slaughter. Okay. Up all night, sleep all day, Slaughter.
I never.
You don't remember Flight of the Angels?
No.
Slaughter?
No.
Come on.
I remember a band being Slaughter, but I never.
Lead singer was Mark Slaughter. No, come on. No. You got to remember Slaughter.
No.
Slaughter.
Why am I?
How many times can I say Slaughter?
I'm thinking of Kip Winger right now.
I've seen Winger before, too.
Anyway. What was the one that was like a Christian band? It was like a Striper.
Striper.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I want some.
Did you see Striper?
Yeah. There was nothing else to do in Johnson City. There was nothing else to do when concerts would come through. It was White Lion. I don't know. It was Striper and White Lion. Striper's big hit was "To Hell with the Devil." Woo! They threw out Bibles to the crowd. It was great. It was just heavy metal insanity.
Oh my God!
So we're backstage. None of the members of Kiss had come out yet, and I'm standing there, and I've got my Crazy Nights T-shirt on, my Kiss concert T-shirt on.
Crazy Nights.
Yeah. So the guys from Slaughter come out, and we're like, "Oh, cool!" And they all run over. And they all autographed my Kiss T-shirt.
No way.
And I was pissed. I'm like, I just wanted to go, you guys just dumped my Kiss T-shirt. I'm sorry. Yeah. I've still got their album.
Yeah.
I love their music.
Do you still have this shirt?
I have the shirt,
Oh, man. So we need to put a picture of the shirt.
Got my Kiss T-shirt.
That's the best.
Autographed by three or four guys from Slaughter.
Oh, my God.
Then... You know, and then Kiss came out.
Yeah.
Eric Carr was the drummer at the time.
Yeah.
And he autographed a girl's boob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was something.
Yeah.
Is Eric Carr, Bruce Kulick.
Yeah.
Was guitarist at the time. And Gene Simmons came out, and he wouldn't talk to me because I'm not a woman. And Paul Stanley wouldn't come out to meet the fans.
Okay.
And I didn't have the guys from Slaughter brought their own markers. They just like, hey, they're just like,
my favorite part. They probably thought that they were just making your night, and they're just pissing you off completely.
It's my Kiss shirt. They signed my Kiss shirt. This has been a fun episode. I've enjoyed it.
This has been a
good
one.
I've enjoyed it. Thanks to the three people who are listening to us on the Twitch.
Remember to subscribe to us.
Uh-huh.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you hear them, iHeartRadio, all those type of things.
Exactly.
IrritableDadSyndrome.com has all of our links, has all of our past episodes, has clips from our shows. We've got merch. We've got a Patreon site that we've just put up. And we're excited about that because it's going to actually make us do some work for once.
Right.
With bonus episodes and voting on the show titles. My favorite, if I were listening to this show, that's the thing that I would want to do the most is vote on the show titles.
Yeah.
Because what you guys don't know is that every time we do one of these, I send you
like four or five,
what, you know,
and then I usually pick one and that's
cow,
what we go with.
Yeah. It'd be like that cow has, and the chair got furry and you know,
right.
Hollow bunnies are addicted to crack or whatever.
Right.
And then
right.
we decide which they're going to be. And usually sometimes you pick what I think.
Uh-huh.
This time you didn't.
Right.
But I always take your word, unless I'm adamant for one. I usually take your suggestion.
There was one time where you're like, I really want this. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I went, but usually, because what happens is I get so into so much stupid has been piped into my head the whole time that I really think that one is the funny one.
I need
and then you come in and it's like a palate cleanse. You're like, I really think the unicorn one is the funniest.
Right.
And then when I woke up this morning, I was like, yeah, that's a good one. And the big thing, a big thing you really can do is, you know, follow us on Twitter. on the Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, let your friends know about it.
Right.
Review us. Rate our show.
Yeah.
You know, send a little review. It'd be cool. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Most importantly, thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.
This concludes another episode of Irritable Dad Syndrome. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Oh, screw this. They don't pay me enough to do this. Thanks for listening.